Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Freedom of Species, where a show that brings animal advocacy to the airwaves of 3CR community radio. Before us, you heard Sally with Out of the Pan, who covered Dennis Altman talk about his new book, A Collection, Writing My World, as well as mapping LGBTQIA plus history, Jonathan Butler. An update on Sally's plans over the summer break. Her last show will be the 21st of December, and then we'll be taking a break until the 8th of February. So you can catch that show, the final show, next week, 12 till 1, and every Sunday, 12 till 1, that is Out of the Pan. And before we get into it, I just briefly wanted to mention that Sally actually passed on to the Freedom of Species team. International Animal Rights Day has just passed. That's observed on December 10 every year, coinciding with Human Rights Day. And Uncaged, the animal rights group that started the event in 1998, intentionally chose this date to highlight the connection between animal and human rights. So on to our show today. Today on the show, we're going to be discussing the dream menus of Savannah. Hey, Savannah.
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
And also Elise.
Hi.
And so, yeah, basically this show is one we've done a couple of times with Hayden. Welcome, Hayden, as well.
Thanks for having me.
Hayden's been on both of these. So we've done two of these. It's our third edition of these shows where we do a vegan version of the podcast Off Menu, which is by Ed Gamble and James Acaster. And, yeah, I guess the idea behind these shows is the idea that, me and I think Hayden, you listen to Off Menu as well sometimes as well, like enjoy the show, but it's always that enjoyment is always sort of reduced at least somewhat by the fact that they're not, there are some vegan guests, but often they're not talking about vegan foods. And I guess the idea that you can be a, you know, you can be a foodie, you can enjoy trying new restaurants, you can enjoy cooking dishes, new dishes, those kind of things, if you're vegan as well. So that is sort of the gist of the show. We'll talk a little bit more about it as well. But I did think that this sort of format of show would be a good way to introduce new team members to the show. So Savannah, welcome to the Freedom of Species team.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So yeah, you'll be hearing more from Savannah in 2026. I guess to talk a little bit about the show, like the politics behind the show, I'll mention something, anyone else can mention anything as well, but I guess to start off, I want to talk about a trip to St Kilda Beach, which sounds a bit of a random a random connection. So basically me and my partner recently went to St Kilda Beach and were there quite late, and the usual vegetarian restaurant was closed that we usually eat at when we're at St Kilda Beach. So we're like, we'll try this vegan place on the south side that we haven't tried before. And we looked up their social media, and it turns out they're no longer vegan anymore, which was a bit of an annoying thing. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, well, if we're really desperate, I have done this like once or twice at an airport or something, like Hungry Jack's had a vegan Whopper, and it's just like vegan as it is. You don't have to say anything. You're just like, I'll have the vegan Whopper, nice and easy. And we're like, well, we did put in fuel next to a Hungry Jack's, so if we're really stuck, that could be an option now that it's getting really late, everywhere's closing. And we looked up their menu, and they've gotten rid of their vegan burger now. And so all of that among like hearing about Woolworths have reduced their vegan range, I've said that as a result of reduced demand. I don't know if it's necessarily less vegan products, it could be more like a move away from like mock meats and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. People have mentioned like the RFK effect over in the Trump administration, like this idea of eating natural and those kind of things. But I've also heard Bird's Eye and Burgatory, the burger chain, have got rid of vegan options as well. So yeah, I just feel like I've been a little bit down about, like, I feel like veganism is going up and up and up. But yeah, I feel like it's quite an important time to kind of talk about the idea that veganism can be joyful and celebratory and enjoyable at a time where it seems like maybe there's been a little bit of a move back the other way, although things overall have increased compared to previous years. Anyone else want to say anything about, about that idea of, vegan eating or anything like that?
Well, I guess in terms of like the reduction in products, like it's a bit sad
And it's definitely sad when there's products that you enjoyed, which you can't get. But I hopefully think that part of it was just that there was a oversaturation. Everyone kind of realized, oh, we can go into this like plant-based market and make big money. And then there were kind of too many products released, all competing with each other, so none of them were making as much money. And so they've kind of like scaled that back. It wasn't as profitable as they thought, which is, you know, a little sad, but hopefully it doesn't indicate that, like, you know, people are stopping being vegan or anything like that. It's more just there was a kind of scramble into a new market and they didn't realize that it wasn't as big as they thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I know all of us here recently attended the Animal Liberation Film Festival, and yeah, there was, I feel like there was a lot of discussions there about what movies do we show and that kind of thing. And I think that kind of feeds into this show as well, in that I remember being at an animal rights rally, which very much focused on the sort of the cruelty that was going on, which is important to address. But I was kind of thinking, being there, like, this is kind of feels like re-traumatizing for the activists who have been in there, and also kind of traumatizing to everyone else who is there. And I think, like, yeah, again, as much as that does have its place as well, I think there's also a place to do, podcasts, for example, radio shows where, like, both for the host doing it, but people listening, like, veganism and animal rights can be associated with, like, more of a fun, uplifting thing as well. That's why I think, yeah, this show has a place as well. Yeah,
and I think it's really nice as a vegan to be able to cook food for non-vegans and have them be amazed at how good it is, especially making things that they didn't think were possible. So, like, my partner Lottie, who's on this show a lot, she recently made for her family, like, a vegan, like, lamb kofta. Wow. And I think they all kind of, like, walked away being like, that was so amazing, can you make it again for us? And, you know, it's just, like, nice to kind of sit there smirking, being like, yeah, vegan food's really, really good. So,
Yeah. I guess, speaking of that, Hayden has recently done some breakfast from different places around the world. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm doing my own little passion project where I'm trying to make a breakfast food from every single country in the world. And so I'm doing that with my partner Lottie. We've got a whole spreadsheet where we keep track of them and rate them so we know which ones are our favorite. And we can do stats about, like, which country's the best or which continent's the best. You know, we're a bit nerdy like that. But yeah, I think I talked about when I did my dream menu that I spend most of my time thinking about food. So, it's a nice thing for me to do to, you know, like, when I travel, I like to travel for food, but, you know, not all countries are necessarily, like, vegan friendly. And so I wanted to be able to experience the cuisine of countries, whether or not they're vegan friendly. And I figured, oh, I'll just do it myself. And you know, I think if you're a vegan person or a non-vegan person, if you do a bit of cooking, it becomes relatively easy to figure out how to veganize things and make them nice. And, you know, it's being fun because the more I've done it, the better I've got at cooking, especially, like, different techniques that I wouldn't necessarily use. I've done things that I felt were too intimidating before. So yesterday we had made croissants, so I made those from scratch. Which, you know, I feel like every time I tell people I make croissants, they're like, oh, croissants are so difficult. And now that I've done it, I'm like, no, they just give it a go. They're not that bad. But yeah, I think it's just a fun little project. And it's, you know, nice to be able to, you know, as a vegan, you can still eat cuisine from every country in the world. You can still make vegan versions of things. And yeah, you know, it's some of them, not because they're vegan, some of them are just bad. Like, some countries, they're like, we eat very bland porridge, which is just like boiled wheat with some salt in it. And you're like, okay, that's never going to be good. But, you know, some things, like, we did Biscoff croissants with Biscoff topping and Biscoff whipped cream. And it was amazing. Yeah. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and Hayden is, I guess, the foodie expert on this show, because when Hayden did his menu a while back, I didn't understand most of the things on your menu, which made my menu feel a bit meat and potatoes in comparison. But
You can judge out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'll have a spreadsheet and I'll rate them as well.
And we'll put a link, to the Hayden's Reddit post about that as well, if any listeners want to try out any of those meals. Were particular popular among fellow Reddit users?
I don't know about Reddit users. Like, I posted some of the photos of the things that looked best on Reddit. If I was going to give a little, like, shout out to the things that I think have been the nicest that maybe people wouldn't otherwise have. Balalit is probably the number one one that I'd give a shout out to. So that's kind of like Arab dish of like sweet noodles in like a rose and kind of saffron flavored sauce, and then you have a, like a savory omelet on top of that, so it's like a sweet salty combo.
Whoa.
And it's kind of, yeah, it's very unique. It's not something you hear about it and you're like, oh, that doesn't sound that nice, and then you eat it and you're like, this is amazing, and like everyone I've made it for has been like, oh my god, I can't believe how good this is. So that's probably like the number one shout out. And then, you know, I've made like Iraqi falafel was really good, so that's falafel without any herbs in it, and then having it with amba, which is like the spicy mango sauce. Revuelto gramajo, which is an Argentinian like hash where you got like fried potatoes, like scrambled tofu for us, like peas, bacon, those kinds of things in there. Yeah, it's just, you know, I think go out and look at the breakfast from every country in the world and you'll find lots of good stuff.
Yeah,
and I did want to also mention that on my dream vegan menu, I had grasshopper pie, which is like a choc mint dessert. And after that menu, Hayden and Lottie made it for me, which was nice. How was making that? Was that difficult or...?
I think if we made it again, we'd make it better.
Really?
Because really at the time, I think we made the whipped cream out of like making it from coconut cream.
And I should say that was on the Red Sparrow menu once. Yes. And then I became obsessed with it. I've never seen it back on the menu. So yeah, I've been wanting it for years. Yeah.
But now we've found lots of good like whipping creams, vegan ones that you can just buy at the supermarket. So we'd probably use one of those instead and get a better texture, because I feel like it was a bit sloppy when we made it for you. But no, it was quite easy to make. It was just like essentially just a kind of whipped mousse, kind of mint flavored mousse in like a Oreo biscuit base.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
May I ask, what is your day job? Are you a chef? Or is this just a really good hobby?
I'm an administrator for a university, so no. It's just I spend a lot of time thinking about food, and I find it meditative cooking, so yeah.
Mm.
Perfect person for this show. And I did want to also mention often the way we introduce new people, so Elise, this is your first time on the show.
Yes.
Yeah, often we introduce people by talking a bit about, I guess, it could be like your vegan story, but also like I think a lot of us like, oh, I thought about X and Y when I was a kid, or I stopped doing this, or I objected to that, that kind of thing. So yeah, turn the clock back as far as you like, but how has, I guess, your thinking and actions and behaviors towards animals changed throughout your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it kind of started, I remember, maybe being 13 and at the dinner table, like kind of first making the connection between like a sausage and a pig. Mm. And I said to my family, I was like, I'm going to go vegetarian, and just like laughs. And then an hour later it was hot dogs for dinner. So I had to eat it. And then when I was in high school, my family kind of all went vegan overnight. It was really interesting. So my mom is a classically trained French chef. She went to the Cordon Bleu. And so kind of, you know, they cook with butter, they cook with meat, very common. And she saw a video of a cattle farm near our house. And it kind of went viral of like the mistreatment of the cows. And it was kind of eye-opening because she didn't realize how close to home it was all happening. And so overnight, she's like, I can't do this anymore. And my dad, just a lover of food, was like, if you cook it, I'll eat it. And then we were all kind of on board. And it was really interesting. She was getting innovative, made her own like fake meat before, you know, all of the like, I don't know, Beyond Meat wasn't really a thing yet. And we were committed as a family. And then it just kind of tapered off. And I think it was that one video that got us all hooked. And then we were just eating. And it just really was like a plant-based diet more than anything. And so by the time I finished high school, I was back to, you know, being an omnivore. And I just lost sight of it. But I have a twin sister, and she did not lose sight of it. So she stayed vegan pretty much the whole time. And eventually she said to me, try it again. Like, I dare you. And so I took it on as a challenge. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to be vegan for the summer and let's see what happens. And I realized how easy it was. And so I would have said maybe I was plant-based at that point. I wouldn't have, looking back, take the vegan label. And then you start to educate yourself and you kind of reach this threshold where you can't turn a blind eye anymore. And so I've kind of been vegan consistently now. You know, I haven't gone back on it for 3 years. I took myself out for my 3-year vegan anniversary to Fungi at Tartufo. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, I've had a really fun time in Melbourne, just like eating my
way. Is that the Italian place?
It is the Italian place. Yes, yes.
Nice. Yeah.
Right. So I'm from Canada, and I moved to New Zealand of March of 2024.
Whoop, whoop, New Zealand.
Same. Yes. And I worked at a vegan bakery for the whole year I was there. Amazing vegan bakery.
Jenna, name it. Everyone must visit it if they go to Wellington,
New
Zealand.
If you're in Wellington, it's called Belen. Mm. So it's a really special place. And just being surrounded by vegan people and vegan food is just so inspiring.
Yeah, because I have looked up New Zealand and it doesn't seem particularly vegan friendly. So it surprised me there's a fully vegan bakery there.
Yeah, in Wellington, I would say it is quite popular. Mm. It's kind of the capital in the lower part of the North Island, but growing up in South Island, it was tricky. Like, I guess my like vegan options was like fish. Oh, not fish and chips. Oh my god,
my vegan option was fish.
Was chips from a fish and chip shop. But then a lot of people also don't find that vegan because it's cooked in the same oil and stuff. But it was a lot of just like cooking stuff at home when I was like vegan. But when I moved to Wellington for uni, there was like 3 iconic ones that I will probably mention when we're doing the menus later. Mm-hmm. But that really helped. And now in Melbourne, like I've only been here 6 months, at least you've been here longer.
About 9 months now. Mm. And just my mission in this city, I work hospitality again, unfortunately not at a fully vegan place. So the money that I earn goes towards all the vegan restaurants and I'm just trying to eat my way through the city. And it's really, it's inspiring, you know, how much delicious food there is. And I don't feel like I'm missing out at all.
Great. Yeah, perfect, perfect person for this show. We will get on to Savannah's menu after the show. Again, Savannah is joining the team. And so I thought this would be a good way to listeners to learn a bit about you and where you're from and where you've traveled and all those kinds of things. And yeah, we'll see how we go. We might get on to Elisa's, but if not, we'll come and we'll have you back on for another show. So let's go to the first song, which is Foie Gras by Keshi and Factor Chandelier. Hayden, do you want to introduce this one? Anything you want to say about it?
I think just it was appropriate for a vegan food show because he just says foie gras, good for the soul. Foie gras disgusts me. And if you know what foie gras is, it's duck liver pate where they force feed the ducks to make their liver go giant. So it involves huge animal cruelty. And so just seemed appropriate when we're talking about vegan food to talk about how disgusting non-vegan food is.
Yes, and we also, on the off-menu show, they have a secret ingredient where if you mention it, you get kicked out of the restaurant. So I thought foie gras could be our secret ingredient. It's not very secret, you know, in advance. I didn't think it'd come up anyway, but I thought that could be a relevant secret ingredient for the menus today. I do have to mention to listeners, the song does contain some swearing.
Freedom of Species would like to thank Project Fresh Start for their financial support of this program. Project Fresh Start provides free plant-based food to the community, with a focus on providing healthy, fresh plant-based food and education around healthy eating and living in a way that sustains the individual, the community, the animals, and the planet. To find out more about our community lunches and programs, check out projectfreshstart.org.au.
Welcome back to Freedom of Species on 3CR Community Radio. On the show today, we're discussing the vegan menus of Savannah and Elise. And yeah, actually, before we get into your menus, I'm going to do them together. But I thought maybe I'd ask you first of all, you've probably already hinted at this actually, or definitely Elise has, but the extent to which your food is, it sounds like you definitely are, Elise. And what about you, Savannah?
You know, I'm not the best cook. Sometimes I refer to my dinner as vegan slop. So, I add a bit of spice in there, but I wouldn't say I love food. I'm a bit of a foodie, but I wouldn't say I'm like, you know, my mum's not a French chef. And I have not made a Reddit page, but I do like food.
So, yeah, we'll start off with your request for water still or sparkling.
Okay, I'm going to have it still because I don't know, sparkling water. I prefer still because I feel like I would get too many burps if it was sparkling.
Yeah, that is actually a common yeah. response yeah. on that podcast. And I still don't know what sparkling water is, so yeah. I think I said still, but I swear I've never tried it. But
you've
yeah.
never tried sparkling water?
I don't think so. I think we may have covered this on the show we did.
But. Did you ever go to Gloria in Brunswick when that was open?
Nope.
Okay, no. It was a cafe that was fully vegan except for like with coffee they offered dairy milk, but all their like food and everything else is vegan. And they had water, they had, you'd just go fill up your glasses, they had a little tap, and they had one that was sparkling water and one that was still water.
Yeah, I just remember, like, as a kid, I think my parents had, like, soda water to mix with some kind of an alcoholic beverage, and I was like, yum, lemonade, and I got an unpleasant surprise. As of that, I don't think it's quite the same as that, is it?
Yeah. And are you having any accoutrement? With your water, any cucumber, lemon.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
Ice.
That's why we have water.
I could have a slice of cucumber or a slice of lemon because I would like. I mean, every time I've got a lemon in a drink, I do need to eat it. Not the skin, but like I need to. You know, I don't want to waste the lemon.
Okay.
I don't know if everyone else does that. But.
Can't say I do.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's just me.
I definitely waste the lemon or cucumber when it's in my drink, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's like a nice little aftertaste or a cleanser.
Okay.
But,
the lemon?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
to
you
actually
know,
eat it?
Yeah. Like, wow. In like a maybe a cocktail, it will be like a lemon slice. And then I won't eat the skin, but I'll just like eat the lemon. Okay. Or same with like an orange. No,
yeah. An orange, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a real foodie, guys.
You're definitely not in trouble for not eating the skin of a lemon. I think. So wasteful.
Yeah. Just a little bit
of
your
compost. Yeah.
Okay, and Elise, are you having still or sparkling?
Sparkling water, yeah. When I was growing up, I spent like some time in Europe. My family lived there on a home exchange for 3 months in France. And it's like always sparkling water at the dinner table, you know, when you go to the restaurant. So
yeah, you get the bottle that you have to pay for because they never give you tap water.
I know. I'm assuming the dream menu is free, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And are you having anything in your water?
Accoutrements, not necessary.
No. Okay, yeah, just a bottle of French sparkling water.
French chilled, please. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Papadoms or bread, Savannah?
Papadoms bread, okay. Well, bread because I love bread with a bunch of different condiments, stuff to snack with. All the dips is what I've written here. I want like hummus and chutney, carrots, like, oh, I'm going to say it wrong, cannellini beans, like, you know, the white
that
beans?
Sounds right.
Cannellini, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Make a bean paste with that is so good. With like, what have we in here? Gherkins, baba ganoush. I do love a good baba ganoush. And cherry tomatoes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes,
yeah, I found
out
two people
that.
Here do not like tomatoes. But I want breads and I want a bunch of different things so I can dip the bread and combine it with random stuff. And it's like picnic kind of style.
Are you having a variety of breads as well? Or is there a particular bread you want?
I would like a ciabatta. You're going to have to correct me with how I say stuff because I might say it wrong. Like a ciabatta? Like
I think
sourdough.
However you say it is correct.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Just blame it on the accent.
But yeah,
yeah, like a ciabatta, my favorite bread would probably be like a ciabatta with like sun-dried tomatoes and olives in it.
Mm.
Yeah. Nice. So if it could be that bread, that would be, There was a phase where I was obsessed with it. And then there was a specific bread that I would buy from a supermarket called New World in Wellington. And I think for maybe 3 months, I would like go and buy it like once a week and just like eat it. For a very long time.
Cool.
Foodie. Yeah.
Papadoms or bread, Elise. Papadoms or bread.
I said focaccia, like a fresh, like out of the oven, put some rosemary, garlic on it, sea salt. That's it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Delicious.
Very simple. Very delicious. Yeah. I used to, earlier this year, when I got back from a big trip I did, I spent like the first like 2 months, I was making fresh focaccia for lunch every single day. The same, just like, put a little bit of like tomatoes on top, some rosemary, olive oil, and so good.
Yes.
What is your favorite phase of making the focaccia bread?
I like with yeasty things, just like putting them in whatever receptacle they're in and then coming back, you know, an hour later and then they're like twice the size and being like, oh yes, this is going to be very good.
It's good.
Yeah. Seeing it very fluffy and when it's like nice and soft and fluffy and being like, this is going to be delicious to eat.
So. Do you poke it and like do the
dimples?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
feel like it's just I feel like you can just from the feel of the dough, you know, when it's going to be good, right? When it's like really spongy and soft and you're like, I know this is going to be absolutely amazing to eat.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Love focaccia.
Yeah.
Your dream starter, Savannah.
Oh, my starter. Why have I written main and side? Does side's my starter, or is there a side?
No. There's a starter in addition, so like an appetizer. Yeah.
If you got two sides, one of them could be your starter.
Okay.
If you need time to think, we can go to a least. Sure. First.
Yeah. My starter has low-key been my bread, like my bread and my dips. Mm. Yeah. That's what I was kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm. You can opt out of a starter. That's fine.
Mm. It's going to be bread, and then my starters are going to be all the dips. And then just give me a lot of bread.
Yeah.
And then
you'll get a second loaf of bread.
For yes. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah.
And yeah, as long as the starter has to include like baba ganoush and like pickled things like gherkins.
Yeah,
chutneys,
the pickled mushrooms we tried today.
Oh yes, that was really good. We're at the vegan market at like Federation Square. There was I went specifically to get the donor, the oh my donor. Am I saying it right? I'll just stop saying that line. It was so good. It was also mushroom. They do like a fake lamb it's from a
shiitake
mushroom.
Lamb.
Oh, cool.
It's very good. But yeah, pickled mushrooms. We tried them today. Mm-hmm. It was really nice.
Delish.
Mm.
What kind of flavor was this pickled mushroom? Do you know what they were pickled in? Is it like a sweet kind of thing? Is it like a salty pickle? Like,
should have read the label.
Was it kind of like jerky or something? Like, what's the deal?
It was like kind of like it tasted like pickle brine juice. That you know, okay, with the like little cucumbers.
Like vinegary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was vinegary.
It wasn't crunchy. It was still like really soft.
So I don't think you can make a mushroom crunchy, right?
Mm, like, no.
But I think the favorite one was, what was the one that you brought? It was like the chili flavor.
It's like a chili oil kind of like chopped mushrooms.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be really good in a toasty or a jaffa, as you guys like to call them.
Oh, jaffa's different than a toasty, I'm just going to say.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Really?
Yeah, well, a jaffa, you do it in a jaffa iron. Yeah, jaffa iron. And then you like put it in the iron and it seals the edges.
Then what's a toasty then? Just like
you put it, it's just like two pieces of bread and with stuff in between, and then you put it in the sandwich press so it toasts and the edges aren't sealed.
Oh, okay.
Because... So like a jaffle, you can have kind of more liquid ingredients because the edges get sealed and so it won't come out.
Okay, that makes sense. And then do you have the chocolate jaffa here as well in Australia? Like, you know, that red ball?
Yeah, so the bread one's called a jaffle.
Oh, jaffle.
Like J-A-F-F-L-E. I mean, very similar sounding. That's all right. And then the orange chocolate is jaffa. Yes, we should have that. Yeah.
Gosh, I've embarrassed myself so many times at Union Kiosk then. Could I have this jaffa, please?
I feel like, to be honest, I wouldn't have picked it if you were just talking to me. Apart from the fact that then you were like, do you also have the Jaffa chocolates? And I was like, okay.
You're
saying the
sense.
Same thing for both.
Yeah.
So it's called a jaffle.
A jaffle.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew that. Yeah, maybe I'm embarrassing myself there as well.
But,
yeah.
So we're learning.
You can get a specific jaffle iron, which is what you make them in, which I don't think, you know, many people have in their kitchen nowadays.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, wow. The more you know. This is good.
Okay, your dream starter, Elise.
Soup. Broccoli soup. Yeah, ooh. It's like a childhood favorite of mine. It's just a nice little bowl.
What goes into this broccoli soup? I'm assuming it's not just blended broccoli.
That does a lot of the legwork. Yeah. you know what?
Is it like a creamy soup or like?
I mean, yes. Yeah, like a little bit of, I feel like you could put like a kind of a cashew cream in it. Yeah. I feel like we're like plugging this mushroom place today, but they had like a stock powder of like dehydrated mushrooms. And I feel like usually it's just a basic vegetable stock in the broccoli soup. But I feel like the little umami moment would be really nice. But yeah, just a broccoli soup would go really well with the focaccia too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're gonna save some focaccia and like dip it in the... And the broccoli soup.
Focaccia's going to come back.
Throughout the meal.
Yeah.
I have the name of the Instagram of the mushroom people. It was Sporadical City Mushrooms. I think they said that they grow them close by as well, which is nice. They had, as we walked up to the bench, they had just a massive pile of mushrooms and I just wanted to take them. They had like a full head of like lion's mane. Wow. And I'm like, that's expensive. You're just like putting gold out there. Hope they're gonna get eaten. Oh, and they had like little plant, not they were advertising. They had like little plant pots made out of like the leftover offcuts of like the mushrooms and like mycelium, and they've made like a texture that makes like firm plant pots. It was super interesting.
Are we going to have to do a disclaimer at the end of this episode that you guys work for these people?
No, we're literally not. But the they were very kind to us because they gave us like little samples of everything because we were just very curious, which is nice. But I just thought it was interesting. I like mushrooms.
Your main.
My main. Okay. So I was thinking long and hard about my main because I was like, what do I feel like? I feel like my like cravings change a lot of the time. And I was recently in Japan before I came back to Melbourne. And that was really nice. And I was like, maybe like a ramen. But then I thought, no, because I'm actually going to be talking about something that I make specifically as my main.
Slop.
Yeah, how did you know? Yeah, so it's called vegan slop. It's also called vegan spanakopita. Yeah, because my partner's from Auckland and all his family's up there and we were there and his like family is South African, but they're like best friends with their neighbours who are Dutch and they made like a spanakopita recipe from them. Wait, Greek.
I was waiting for the Greek connection to come in at some point.
It's Greek. No, they're Dutch originally, sorry. But their neighbour was Greek and they gave them this amazing recipe for spanakopita. And I couldn't eat it because it was not like vegan. And then we got back to like Wellington when we were still living in New Zealand. And I was like, I'm going to make a vegan version of this. And it was nice. And it works quite well because I just like love making like the phyllo pastry. I just like brought it already from the store. And it's like the vegan one just made with like the oils. And then I'd make like a cashew nut kind of based like kind of cream cheese kind of sauce for it. And then I would just chuck whatever like leafy greens we had left over. And I like grew like silver beet in the garden and stuff. But it was really nice. And then I would get like oat milk and like paint over the pastry and like make little things with like the leftover pastry. That was, it's just quite fun to make. And I was quite proud of how delicious it was. And then I went through a phase where I was making it like once or twice a week. I go through phases where I find like a new food obsession and then I will just like rely on that for a while. So yes, my main will be a homemade vegan spanakopita.
And are you making it for yourself or you've I'm made making it in advance or
I would be you guys normally talk about like the setup of like the restaurant or what it's like.
You can bring that in.
I think mine would be, well, since it's like summertime Christmas, it would be like a picnic. We're at Princess Park near Brunswick. Mm. We're near the dog park so we can admire the cute little dogs. But we're separate so they don't steal our food. And we're having an array of fun, lovely things. And I've brought my home-baked vegan spanakopita to have as the main meal. And then maybe later I've like gone to stores and brought stuff from like really nice stuff because I can't make that myself. But
well, I mean, in the dream restaurant, they can just magically appear.
They'll magically appear.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're in the park and an oven just appears. You open it and the spanakopita comes
out.
It's
ready.
Yeah.
If that's an option, let's do
it. You can have it straight out the oven. You don't have to have it cold or anything like that, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's straight out of the oven, nice and fresh, ready to eat. That is my main.
Nice.
Should we do the side with that as well?
I'm sure, want, yeah.
Because I feel like the side's going to go with the main, so.
Yeah, okay. Sure. I'd never thought of that, but yeah, foodie person.
Oh, yep. So as a fellow foodie, my side would be, so in Wellington, one of my favourite vegan, it's like kind of vegetarian, actually, The Botanist.
Yeah, veggie.
It's veggie. Vegan in the evenings, veggie in the mornings, because they do egg and milk.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go there in the evenings, and I was obsessed with this like side salad that they had, and it was like mock chicken, and it had like blackberries and nuts. Ooh. And like vegan feta cheese and kale and rocket and like beetroot, sometimes avocado. It was kind of like an everything salad, but I just loved that it had berries in it, and it had like this really nice crunch with like the nuts and stuff. And I would just like eat it all the time. And then they stopped it from the menu, like you with your grasshopper. yeah, which is sad. But that's like my favorite kind of salad and it's good to just
I do
it
remember
fresh.
Having a, like, there was a vegetarian restaurant I used to go over to back in Perth where I'm from. And yeah, they had like strawberries in the salad, which I was like, I hadn't really seen that much, but it is.
It's good.
Nice. Yeah.
It
yeah.
adds some nice tartness. Mm. Yeah. Tart, that's a flavor. But that's what I would have. I'd have a massive container of it, and I would be sharing it nicely with the people at my picnic. Mm.
And will it be from this place? They'll have made it for you? They'll have brought it back onto the menu?
I would have contacted the chef directly and said, look, please do me this one favour.
Yeah.
And then they would have sent it over from New Zealand via, like, I don't know, maybe they'd altered time and space, like, made a portal.
Fade him out of a cannon.
Yeah, I was going to say fly it over, but I don't want to, you know, have more emissions out there. I'm like, there must be an ethical way they can get it to me.
You're already not eating your lemon peel, so you're already,
yeah, exactly. You're so it's kind of offsetting.
Yeah, I was going to say, your menu as well, like, I think it's a lot healthier than the menus that Nick, Lydia, and I did. I think I'm already like, you've got vegetables in yours for like every course, whereas I feel like ours, it was kind of like, we were vegans who weren't eating any vegetables, so.
Yeah, we'll just wait till I get to my dessert.
Oh, it's not going to be carrot cake.
Be the opposite. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, what do you think? So, oh, you can give us your thoughts and feedback at the end.
He's got his spreadsheet out.
Yeah, he's already marking.
I'm marking as we go. I've got my red pen out so I can leave comments. Yeah. Okay, Elise, what's your main going to be?
My main is like a homemade potato gnocchi with like brown butter and sage.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. It's like a classic of my mom's. I feel like I was sitting down writing this menu and it's all inspired by food that my mom makes. I've been away from home for almost 2 years now and I'm just missing her cooking. You know, I can go out to as many great restaurants as I like, but there's nothing like a home-cooked meal. So,
especially when your mom is a classically trained French chef.
Mm. Yes, turning vegan chef. She's writing a vegan cookbook.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
I we should have her on the show.
Yeah.
Come to Melbourne. What's your mom's name?
Denise,
please.
Open up a restaurant in
Melbourne. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it would be so popular.
Mm-hmm. Vegan French food would be But so this and the broccoli soup, they're both made by your mum, ideally?
Yes, yes. Okay. Both like childhood nostalgic kind of foods with her. Yeah.
Are these like the gnocchi, are they pan fried or just like
pan fried in the brown butter and the sage. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. So I was gonna say, like, I'm not much of a gnocchi person, except when they're pan fried. And if I go to a restaurant and the gnocchi, they don't
just boiled.
I'm like, why would you even serve that at a restaurant?
Mm-mm. No, I want it a little bit crispy on the outside, exactly. Kind of more like a French fry, but like but gnocchi,
pillowy on the inside, crispy on the outside.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I was going to say that, like, the nostalgia thing is interesting. How much that factors into food. Like, I can think of myself as a kid and like having nice memories of like eating, like, I didn't even really eat fish, but like fish and chips, like on the beach or whatever, like a nice summer night, nice beaches in Perth, and like those kind of connections. And so often when someone might be like debating animal rights or something, actually underlying that might be like, I've got these really pleasant memories of having this dish made by my mum or this dish with my family that I'd make every Christmas, which contains animal product, and that can kind of be actually where the resistance is coming from as well. But we can veganize these things or just have a vegan mum. Is your mum is back to vegan? Or?
Well, so my twin kind of got me back on you know, and we did, when I was back home, family dinners like once a week. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you have two vegan kids, you know, you're going to cook a vegan meal. And then, you know, I'd say mostly my parents are both vegan. So it's a pretty, pretty vegan household.
Yeah.
Is nice. Yeah. Makes it easy. Christmas dinners are always great.
That's always the trickiest on Christmas. Yeah.
Well, they all flew out to Wellington to visit me at Christmas, and it was my time to cook the Christmas dinner. And so, I made my own seitan, and I made focaccia buns and like salad, and
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I felt really lucky a few years back at Christmas time, because like all my family, no one's vegan apart from me. I'm the black sheep. And then there was like a vegan family, and it was like a co-worker from my old workplace in Dunedin, and she kind of like converted her whole family to vegan. And then they made me this little like takeaway Christmas box, and it was like a nut roast, and it was all these delicious salads and like sweet treats. And they'd made like a meringue, but it was like a vegan one with like aquafaba. And it was so nice, and it was it was really sweet. Vegan Christmas, love it.
So what's your side going with your main, with your gnocchi?
Roasted cauliflower. Just kind of simple in the oven, olive oil. I mean, probably slap some nooch on there.
By your mom as well.
I can do that one. Yeah, I can help out.
So what's the like scenario? Is it like at a restaurant, or is this like maybe you're with your mother?
Honestly, it was what I wrote here was kitchen table of my childhood home, with my twin sister, my mom and my dad. Like,
are they still in the same place, your parents?
They're all like, my parents are in the same house. My sister lives like, you know, not too far away. And then I have both my dogs there. You know, they've never lived at the same time, but I feel like they're going to meet in this scenario. Yeah. And they're just going to be hanging out.
We can make that possible.
Yeah.
We can reach beyond the grave. Yes. So which part of Canada is this? So are we on the west coast, rainy and cool, or are we on a east coast where it's like a wintry, snowy Christmas?
No, west coast, west coast. Vancouver Island.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Not a lot of snow. No, every once in a while you'll drizzly, get a white right? Christmas. Drizzly, yeah. But
I feel like very green and beautiful.
Lush, yeah. Definitely miss it. Okay. But.
We better play a song and then we'll do the drink and dessert to finish up. So another one by Hayden, Coyotes by Modest Mouse. Anything you want to say about the song, Hayden?
Yeah, this is just from their album Strangers to Ourselves. And the whole album is kind of about how humans are fucking up the planet and just destroying everything. And it's a surprisingly good listen, despite the fact that it's a very sad message.
Freedom of Species thanks Animal Free Science Advocacy for their financial support of this program. Animal Free Science Advocacy works to create a future where no animals are harmed in the name of science, and scientific progress is advanced through animal-free research methods. Become a member today by visiting animalfreesci.org.au. That's animalfreesci.org.au.
Welcome back to Freedom of Species on 3CR Radical Radio. Today we're talking about Savannah and Elise's dream vegan menu. So your drink, Savannah,
beverage is going to be kombucha, like a ginger lemon flavoured one, because we've discovered I like lemons.
And ginger's good for the guts. Well.
Yeah. A very healthy thing.
I just want a healthy gut.
That's my goal.
And what's your drink going to be, Elise?
It's a fresh apple juice. I don't know. Kind of a little sweet, rounded out.
Is that like a home squeezed? How do you make apple juice at home?
I don't know. I was in Norway in August, and this lady, she like gave us homemade apple juice, and it was in a wine glass, so I think that helped.
Okay. Yeah. It feels fancy.
Yeah.
Well, and your dream dessert, Savannah, final.
Okay, so I'm going to have two because I'm going to share them. And they're both going to be, in Wellington, New Zealand, there's Nolita, really good Italian vegan place, and there's The Botanist, which I talked about before, which is near Lyell Bay and has like vegan and vegetarian options. Botanist do a creme brulee, fully vegan, delicious. So I would like that, please.
I'm very ignorant. Maybe I'm the only one, and this is for the listener who doesn't actually exist. But what is a creme brulee? I've heard of it. Like, I have no idea what it is.
It's like a sweet kind of custardy typed pudding, and then they like blowtorch the top of it, and then it's kind of caramelizes, and you get a spoon and you like tap it, and it like
makes
breaks.
Like a toffee on top of it that you have to crack open.
It's very satisfying. So I would like a creme brulee, and then from Nolita they do a very good vegan tiramisu. So I would like that, like a little coffee, a little bit of cream, bit of chocolate. So yeah, that is me. They're going to be delivered via Void from New Zealand.
As with all the things.
Yes, as with all the things.
Okay, what is your dream dessert, Elise?
I actually make it for myself quite often, so I'm living the dream.
Yeah.
Chocolate mousse out of tofu. I make it myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I've made that before. It's really good. Yeah.
Get the little protein fix in as well, you know.
Is that what made out of like a soft tofu?
I actually use firm tofu.
Oh, really?
And then
I made it with silken, but yeah.
I do that and it gets too runny. So I just like add more soy milk and I like it really thick, like an ice cream.
Wow. And we're actually going to read them back, but I haven't actually written anything down. Have you written anything down?
I think I can remember Elise's at least.
I do ramble.
I Savannah's as well. Well, let me have a go at this. Okay, so you've gone for still water, and you want some lemon in it, and you're going to eat the lemon, but not the peel.
Very important,
yes. Which we'll save for later for an unspecified purpose.
To make the little things like the mushroom, they make, what do they make? Little pots out of them.
Exactly. I'm going to pile up the leftovers and give it to those people.
Okay, then you've gone for poppadoms of bread. You went bread. Mm-hmm. You want a ciabatta with sun-dried tomatoes and, I can't remember what the other thing is.
Olives
in it, And then you're going to have it with all the dips, all the things. You're going to have some pickles. All you're going to have all kinds of dips. Your main course you are going to have homemade spanakopita.
Yes.
Yes. And then you're going to have that aside with a fully loaded salad with mm-hmm. all kinds of things in the salad from flown over from New Zealand.
Yep.
Not flown over.
Well, flown over maybe by...
I might ask some migrating birds to pick it up on their
exactly,
way.
Yeah, exactly. And compensate them appropriately.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then your drink, you're having a nice and healthy ginger lemon kombucha.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for your dessert, you're having two desserts.
Yes.
You're going to have a tiramisu and you're going to have a creme brulee.
Yes, wow. Exactly.
You okay. So, you're like the waiters who are like, oh, it's all up here.
It's all up here.
It is,
yeah.
But it is in this case. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it might have muddled the next one, but let's give it a go. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're going to have sparkling water, no accoutrement.
Mm-mm.
No, just on its own, a French sparkling water out the bottle that you don't have to pay for. You're going to go for a focaccia.
Yep.
For your bread. Nice mm-hmm. and oily with some rosemary, some garlic.
Yes, please.
Your starter, you're going to have broccoli soup made by your mum.
Mm-hmm.
And then your main, you're having gnocchi, pan-fried, in a sage and brown butter sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Side. I'm... something you made. Oh, it's the roasted cauliflower, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. You're going to have a fresh squeezed apple juice, or however you get apple juice, from some Norwegian person in a wine glass.
Yes.
And then your dessert is going to be, you're going to whip up some tofu chocolate mousse.
Yeah, sure.
Well done. And have you put in your calculations? Have you given them a rating?
I'm giving them 10 out of 10 each.
10 out of 10.
Thank you. Well, you're invited then.
Yeah.
You can come to the picnic. Yeah.
All right. I think that's just about all we have time for, but thanks for sharing your menus, Elise and Savannah, and thanks for your food expertise, Hayden, which I wouldn't have been able to get to, not knowing what creme brulee is. So that is it. We will put some links up if you want to hear my menu and Hayden and his partner Lottie's menus as well. You can check them out. We'll also put a link to the Off Menu podcast, specifically one with a vegan guest, comedian Simon Amsel. So you can check out that show where they've done, coincidentally, I guess, a vegan theme. Stay tuned for Rotations, and that is coming up next with some music. We're going to finish up with the song The Funeral by local resident Failure. I do have to mention the song does contain a bit of swearing, first of all, but this song just has a mention about giving up eating steaks. So I thought it was kind of relevant to the vegan theme and the food theme today. So yeah, that's it. Thanks again to everyone for joining me. Stay tuned for Rotations.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.